Okay, chapter 16, next page 60. Brother Song can tell you, page 60 onward only the real gem. Is it really beautiful? So chapter 60, the six internal sense bases of our five physical sense and one mind base, and the six external sense bases are their respective six sense data, are their respective six sense data or object, like color, shape and form for the eye, vibration, sound, music, noise, etc. for the ear, etc. Upon contact of mind, their respective sense of consciousness come to be, and like the physics experiment of the light bulb, the switch and the battery, upon contact the light bulb lights up naturally. So in the same way, our sense of consciousness is also naturally conditioned arising. That's why the Buddha says it's dependent originating. That is, upon contact of mind with the respective sense basis and sense object, their respective consciousness comes to be. Contemplative wisdom refers to the second turning wisdom called Chintamaya Panya, whereas the meditative or bhavana type develops via cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness refers to the third turning wisdom called bhavana maya panya. Wisdom is always linked to harmony. Always remember, when you have wisdom, it will lead to harmony and peace and understanding, not ego. This is the reason why the wise ones are always in harmony and at peace with all things, no matter what happens. Sensual desire and ill will are the first two hindrances of mind that will always arise when one reacts to one sense experience without wisdom. Reaction or stirring of mind also imply disharmony. We are wanting things your way. Now you understand why you stir your mind and react. Because you don't like that thing. You want things your way. This is how sensual desire you will arise. Sensual desire is craving. Craving can be positive and negative. When you don't like that sense experience, you have aversion. That is negative craving. When you want it to be otherwise, then there is craving for the other side, which is positive. But nature is nature. Conditioned like that, things will be like that. You cannot fight nature. If you want to change and develop the understanding, if you want to change, you must develop the understanding to understand the causes and conditions behind its arising. And then work towards it. Cultivate the causes. Plant the causes and conditions. Then you will be able to realize it. That is what life is all about. You understand the Dhamma, you understand the secret of life, you will know how to arise things, manifest things through your understanding. Memory is useful for remembering one's house address, name, bank account and signature, but not for grasping, clinging and holding on to our unhappy state of mind, to our sadness and fear. Fearful memory of our psychological hurts and emotional past, you are not supposed to hold them, because memory is not for psychological purpose. Your memory is for you to understand life. Use it for mechanical thing. You know what is mechanical thing? Like learning science, technology, art or whatever. These are knowledge. For knowledge, thought is very useful. Without thought, you cannot develop the understanding of science, even arts, even what they call logic. That's why they have Form 6, this book, Logical Thinking. What was the title of the book? I remember there's one book we study in Form 6 about logical thinking. These are the scars of memories. The scars of memories must not be clung onto. Otherwise, they are conditioned. They can condition one's sadness, sorrow, lamentation and grief, fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, and unhappy emotion. Memory should be left in the brain as it is like the ROM and the RAM in the computer. That is, we do not cling on to it, but only access it when we need it, when we need to use them or make use of it to perform certain useful and appropriate action and function. So now you have to be wise so that you know how to use thought. Like I say, it's a tool. Use it appropriately. If you use it to accumulate all of the psychological fear and phobia, what will happen? It will make you miserable. And that is not the purpose of thought. That's why you don't deposit and accumulate. Then it becomes attachment. You hold on to it. That's why it creates thought. Thought is respond to all this accumulated memory. And when they constantly arrive, because you give so much emphasis to it, you cling on to it, you hold on to it, it keeps on coming out. That's why they say, like, haunt you, cannot stop. That's how the depressed people get entangled. Then when it haunts you, you repeatedly think about it. And you develop more and more unhappiness. Then you start to plan and scheme how you want to deal with that situation or that person. Then this will become more and more severe accumulation or attachment until you are ready to act out of it. That's why the next moment you see him or this condition, all this planning, scheming, or what they call repeated thinking, they will erupt. Then you will transgress and act. That's why sometimes they can kill. They can become very violent. Or they burst into extreme anger and all those things. So this is how your brain works. And it is not supposed to be used that way, because that will hurt you, harm you, and make you evil, dangerous. When it explodes, you can harm people and kill people. That's why memory is not for this. Memory is for you to remember important things like your daily need. Like where your home is, address. Otherwise, you don't even know where you stay. What's your name? You have to remember. What's your house phone number, your hand phone number? Then, most important is your bank account. How you sign your check. You can't even remember that. Then you get into trouble. This is useful memory, understand or not? Then what's your spouse's birthday? Otherwise, I tell you, Taiwo. You forget about her birthday, and yet she give you hint. Honey, today, do you have any plans? Shall we go for dinner? Every now and then, dinner. Forget about it. Well, I tell you, after that, you will be sorry for very long. And spouse are very funny. They don't want to tell you. But they also forget. Choi le dong. After that, they strike. Nobody cook, nobody wash your clothing, nobody upkeep the house. Then that time you recall, wow, where is my wife? How can she do that to me? Then after that, you trace her, is it? Ask you to go for dinner, you don't want. You know what date is that? Wow, Taiwan. Then sometimes anniversary, also forgot. You plan everything already, you know, planning the holiday, the trip. You pour cold water. No time lah, please lah, don't disturb me this time of the year. So all this, you have to be sensitive, you must have memory to remember, at least be sensitive. Because they are still human. They have feelings, understand? You don't take them for granted. You don't think everybody like you got Dhamma. Forget also, never mind, it's okay. You think everybody like that. A lot of people are very sensitive because their expectation is very important. You know how they think or not? I have married you. I have actually sacrificed so much. I give up my freedom to have boyfriend, to have all those things, to go out with classmates and friends. And now my birthday, I expect you to have love and remember it and at least celebrate a proper birthday. That one also you cannot give me. You know? So what you want the wife to do? Sacrifice and do all those things for you. Then you didn't even appreciate and remember her birthday. So sometimes it can be very important. Depend on the type of wife. Some wife don't mind. Some wife say, yeah, they follow her. Not only birthday, anniversary also forgot. So all this is about memory. Okay, true or actual meditation only begin when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. And remember this. When you are in the formal meditation with all the fantastic mind state, you have not really started the real meditation. Yeah, this is heedfulness in daily life. That's why true or actual meditation only begin once when one's daily mindfulness has stabilized. That is when one is always aware. Listen, you cannot do this means you are not heedful. If you are always aware and heedful throughout the day to investigate the Buddha Dhamma in daily life, we are cultivating the four foundations of mindfulness to truly understand who you are, what you are, and how we function as a human being. We are self-knowledge. And how we become what we are, we are understanding how our mind stirs at every moment of sense experience. And how we are conditioned into various mind states of suffering due to one's own delusion and ignorance. This is what I mean by Hui Guang Fan Zhao. Reverse the light and shine within to understand all this movement. And you need sati to understand it. That's why without sati, you cannot understand what is going on. And you become heedless. And yet don't understand why you are so afflicted and miserable. The silent mind is in clear, stable awareness or mindfulness will enable us to be aware of the sense door consciousness that arises at every moment of sense experience, thereby enabling us to witness all of the Buddha Dhamma, like the Four Noble Truths, the Law of Dependent Origination, etc., as taught by Lord Buddha, within our own form and mind or phantom-length body. This witnessing via direct seeing can give rise to a lot of wisdom, leading to the awakening or enlightenment in the here and the now. So this is what the sati can bring about, the direct seeing without thought. Then silence your mind and be aware from within or inside to realize the true mind. That's why you must stay within to be aware, aware, aware. Then you will understand why only wisdom free and liberate the mind and nothing else. Then you can understand Master Xuanhua's commentary that states, with wisdom, you can very naturally reach the other shore of Nirvana. Now you understand, Very easily, very easily and very naturally you get to the other shore. Without any need, expend any effort at all. That's why no effort, the real meditation. You know what is effort or not? You put in effort. Means there is a craving to do something. The real meditation, if you got craving, Nibbana cannot be realized. Because who make effort? The thought make effort. The thought want to meditate. The thought want to be enlightened. That's why a lot of effort. That's why the Buddha say under the Noble Eightfold Path, the four right effort is to apply to the thought. That's why he said, first right effort is what? Right effort to abandon the wrong thought that has arisen. Thought, you can use effort. That second right effort is to prevent the arising of the wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. And this one, you use effort, very thought. That's why you have to purify your thought. Citta visuddhi, understand? Then after that, you move on to right effort to cultivate the right thought that is still not in you, the right action and right. And this one you use effort, but when it comes to meditation, samasati, the Buddha never say effort anymore. Everything is mindfulness. What is mindfulness? Silent awareness. That's why they cannot understand. That's why Krishnamurti also Very, very wise. You know what he said? Huh? Whenever there is a meditator, there is no meditation. Whenever there is effort, there is no meditation. Oh, how can he understand that? Because he has realized. Otherwise, he cannot understand that. Who is the meditator? The thought. Who make effort? The thought. Because the thought wants to do meditation. The thought wants to do vipassana. The thought wants to insight, become enlightened. That one thing is a craving, desire. And craving is a cause of suffering. That's why you cannot penetrate. That's why you just aware and you will understand yourself. You will insight into the characteristic of nature. Then through that understanding, your delusion will be rooted out, especially self-delusion. So all these are very important. Okay, next one. Question, this one. Is the divine innocence of a newborn baby the same as the enlightened state? What do you think? Huh? This is a very good question. What do you think? Baby just born. No memory, no conditioning. They are very innocent. Every now and then they see things as they are. Is that the enlightened state? As a baby, no memory, nothing. They don't even know who they are. So you can have direct seeing, so what? Cannot understand anything. But with all the conditioning, all the memory, then you can have this ability to see like a baby. That is the real enlightened state. Because you have the understanding, then you can awaken. But the baby cannot. That's why it doesn't mean you go to the gateway. You automatically become wise. No such thing. Without Dhamma as a prototype to guide you, to train. That's why when you hit the third support, relax, aware, continuous mindfulness, heedfulness, then you come out of it. Don't go into the concentration or apana samadhi. Come out of it to develop the direct seeing, to develop the wisdom. Then only you can understand mind state. And then only you look for the gateway. Otherwise, I tell you, you'll be trapped in energy field. So the purpose of that gateway or the true mind is not for you to go into energy field and enjoy it and do all the astral traveling and all those things. So all these are very useful. If you want to know how to do astral traveling, you ask our friend, Garrett. He told me he went out. He can see the planet and all those things. Very clear. You go and talk to him. So what? After you see that one, you come back. It's just a mind state. But it will make you famous. Oh, yeah, I really can see. Oh, you're very excited. I also want to do astral traveling. I want to see my girlfriend, what she do. I want to see my friend, what she do, or what he do. Your mind develop astral traveling to see people's secret. You are not interested in developing wisdom. So mind, when you don't understand, you use it wrongly, you cannot develop wisdom. And to understand life, you need wisdom. To live life, you need wisdom. Otherwise, you still will have suffering. Okay? So, my answer, you will understand. That's why I said no. The newborn baby's condition is different. Only the mind state of pure perception is quite similar. Understand not? They see things as they are. Really similar. Because no word, no perception, nothing. Understand not? That one is similar. That consciousness, the pure awareness, the pure perception, that I don't call it direct seeing. They naturally, that is like physics. The seeing, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness. But they cannot understand anything. Understand? What they see also, they don't know. But they are very curious. That's why they're very innocent. the baby don't have cunningness, don't have deceitfulness, not like human being. There is no ego, nothing. They actually don't know anything, but you condition them, feed them with all the ego, give them a name, then teach them papa, mama, you boy, girl, then play with them, then give them sweet. Oh, then they taste, they like it, they develop craving. Then next time you give them sweet, oh, they take. Then you say, okay, give one to papa, mama, shake the hand like that. Because craving already. Then after that become cunning, naughty. Then you say, wow, you young, so cute, now you're so naughty. Oh, boy, I cane you. Oh, he laugh at you and he run around. Well, he know you love him, so you pamper him. Oh, anything you don't want to give, he cry. Then the mom will come, what are you doing? Why small boy also you want to cane and discipline? Let him have what he want. That's how you pamper him. And he become naughty and naughty and naughty. Then you grow up, oh, you last time shouldn't have done all this thing. Oh, too late. Okay. Then we read on. The reason being, in the case of the baby, the so-called pure perception come about via a brain that is still quite innocent and pure in the sense. That is, it is not conditioned by any memory, any views, opinion, conditioning or concept and words as yet. So the main difference is that mind state is not born of wisdom. Whereas for those of the enlightened one, their perception are still pure perception despite their memory, conditioning, etc., due to their wisdom. And there is clarity within with pure perception. That is, they are like a lotus flower. They are still pure and stand above the lotus pond, even though they originate from the filthy lotus pond below. So now you understand, huh? Then part 3, when one encounters adversities without wisdom, the mind will stir to condition one's unwholesome thought and unwholesome emotion. The 5 ways to overcome unwholesome thought and emotion, stated again, repeated again. So the more important one is, the first 2 are thought-based. First way is to think of the direct opposite wholesome state. For example, if there is anger, develop metta. And there, if there is cruelty, develop compassion. And if there is fear, develop faith or contentment. When you are happy, peaceful, when you have metta, you cannot be angry, that very obvious. But this one cannot help you much. Every time angry, go and sit, do metta, loving kindness meditation. So it's not effective, it's temporary. But at least it's a beginning at thought level. You can calm yourself down. Then after that, if the Buddha said it doesn't work because sometimes your enemy, understand, somebody did certain very bad thing to you and your memory cannot forgive them. So how to redeem metta to him? Cannot, isn't it? So first way cannot work, isn't it? Oh. Then you go to the second way, the Buddha said. Think of the consequence of holding on to this unwholesome thought or evil roots. If you do not abandon it, then the evil root, which is the root of all evil, will condition you into becoming an evil person. For example, anger can condition you into hatred and violence. An angry person can kill, harm, and abuse others. That's how you will break your precept. So evil root, root of all evil, will make you evil. Karma will fall. Your life will be affected. So you have to wake up to this. That's why the danger, the consequence of holding on to your anger, your hatred, your fear, worry, anxiety, and vengeance, even your envy, your jealousy, all this, no point, because they are evil root. So you have to abandon them. Then through this contemplation, if you love yourself, you will not allow yourself to have this evil root. You will not want to become evil. So this is to use the thought so that the right effort to abandon the unwholesome thought will arise. You will be very determined. Then third way is the best, meditative. Just relax and let things be. For this is the meditative way developed via understanding that the natural state of mind before its stirring is already the meditative state of peace, calmness and silent inner awareness. And that the very flowering of the unwholesome thought is the very ending of that thought, if we don't give it any more mental fuel or mental proliferation. So thought cannot develop further if there is no mental thinking. Understand? That's why the more you think, the more you want to express it, the stronger is the thought, the more powerful is the thought. But if you just awareness, aware of the emotion, the thought or the anger or the fear, be with it. Don't try to note it. No, note it is the thought trying to note. Then you give it more mental energy. That's why you go and note anger, 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 more anger. Understand? Because you create that concept of anger, it's a hindrance. Then the mind cannot be peaceful. But if you're silent, no more words, let things be, then you realize that emotion loses its power to expand because no more wrong view, no more thinking to stir it. Then what happened? That anger is an energy field. It will dissipate and disperse. That's why finally you realize, hey, if I don't do anything, this anger dissolves by itself. Then what remains is the, like the host. You know as a host? The innkeeper. Because your true mind is all the while there. Originally there is Ru Ru Putong. Unless you stir the mind, the mundane mind, the anger, the emotion, which is conditioned arising, they will stay there. Then you become evil. So when you understand that, what must you do? You have to reflect and contemplate. Actually, anger is not me. Fear is not me. They are conditioned arising. When condition is there through my wrong view, I stir, then it arises within the consciousness. Then you have that consciousness content has fear. But that fear is not you. When that fear disappears, you never die. Understand not? If it's not you, then why you go and worry? Why you go and complain? You know, a lot of cultivators, they become so obsessed with anger. After they meditate very long, they got good experience. Sometimes they are confirmed what insight, what level of enlightenment. So they thought they cultivate already. Then suddenly anger arises. I still got anger. I still got fear. I still got craving. What is that? Sakayadidi. The I, the anger is still him. What type of enlightenment is that? I don't understand. So, what must you do? If they are not you, like the guest of the mind, they come and they go. Understand? Don't get yourself involved. That's why they say, do not make everything personal. Understand? When you have egoic mind, sakyadity, self-delusion, you take things personally. Understand? You think the name that they call is you. You think the scolding, the insult, and all those whatever harsh word is used against you. That's why you get angry. Understand? So all these are wrong views, self-delusion. So when you understand that there are conditions arising, you just let things be. Then you assist. Then you realize, meditation is so simple. I just silent, aware. I understand the true mind. Then I use this silent mind, which is peaceful, aware, to develop the understanding. Then there is clarity. Then when there is clarity, I know what to do. I know how to act. Because I understand what happened. I'm not deluded anymore. Then I act with noble eightfold path to resolve anything amicably. And that should be the understanding. That should be the way you live your life. Then you become beautiful because you follow the advice of the Buddha. You cultivate noble eightfold path so that it will lead to the end of all suffering. So whatever problem and situation you apply noble eightfold path, it will bring about wisdom, understanding, and cease all your problems. Okay, so this is very important. Okay, we go on. The third way finish, yeah? Then the fourth way, trace the origination factor and then retrospectively reverse them via cultivating mindfulness of Dhamma, means the six sense bases, cultivation of mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and external sense bases to develop the wisdom to free. This one we have done. Eh? The fifth one, if all the above also cannot help you, then you must use your own self-determination as recommended by the Buddha. That is with teeth and your tongue. Teeth clench. Clench teeth and your tongue towards your palate. You should determine strongly to abandon the negative and wholesome thought. Because the Buddha said, first four teach you also you cannot do. You jige chop sang. You go and use your own determination to abandon it. He don't want to teach you anymore. that monk in US, when people ask him this one, he also know quite a bit of this one. The first four, he understand. The fifth one, when he read this one, the student asked him, does this work? You know what he say? The Buddha say, so it must work. You cannot understand why the Buddha say this. Means, the word is, you must determine strongly. I mean, you know, not the Buddha. No. So let you get up some. If you treasure your life, then how you abandon? Yeah? You don't have wisdom at all. How to abandon? That's why he say, jige chop sang, gao tiu. So, when I understand this, I will never advise you to do the fifth way, unless you're really so useless. Any of the four, so you cannot do the top four, then you better think of your own way. Because life is something that you have to develop understanding. You must love yourself. Treasure what life has given you. So this fifth way is just an advice that the Buddha actually put in through what they call in disguise to let you understand. You got no other way, you try this one. Chinese call what? Ngao ji nga gan. With teeth clenched. Then we all don't have tongue against the palate. Means what? Yan, ngao ji nga gan. People want to do surgery or what, without anesthetic, anesthesia, you put a cloth inside the mouth, then endure. Means the Buddha said, go and endure the suffering. Because this is something that he cannot help you anymore. So you have to develop the understanding yourself. Okay, the next question. Is it alright to indulge in positive thought during formal sitting meditation? For example, like recalling thought of doing good, this, etc. What do you think? Ayo, is that meditation? Oh. Indulge, use the word, the person who asked the question. Is it alright to indulge? Kaulat, the moment you indulge, you're gone really. So you must understand what meditation is. Okay, read my answer. I said not advisable because it's like trying to create good memories of a good state or happy moment, mind moment, which is a form of thinking. That's why it's not meditation. And sensual indulgence or craving for a happy state, for this happy mind state. Which is a form of thinking and sensual indulgence or craving for a happy mind state. For this happy mind state. Whereas radiating loving kindness or metta is different because it is not thinking, it is from the heart with the pure feeling of true metta. You are silent and you radiate that peaceful metta sincerely from your heart. So this is not thinking, understand? But if you're parroting, then it's different. May all beings be well and happy. You think effective or not? May I be well and happy, but sleepy my state. You have to feel it. May I, this body or mind or mind, be well and feel the well-being. And then it's effective. And you feel. Then later on, when you have the understanding, you not only feel, you will develop the metta. Then after that, you can will it out. You will this loving kindness to somebody. Then the final third stage is true metta. When your nature has metta, you no need to will. You're just silent. Then you can radiate. The radiate is not a will. No. That radiation is this mind that has wisdom, understanding, and virtue. Wishing all beings well and happy. Then this metta come out. No. There is a very soothing, pure energy come out. I tell you, during that time, animal will love you. Birds will love you. They can all feel you. The non-human all can feel you. That metta is very different. And during the early day, I was very powerful in metta. That's why the Australian incident, remember? The big dog. Australian Kuilo dog. And I don't know that dog one. Rush from 100 over meter away. He just rushed off from the owner. The owner was holding this dog for a morning walk. Then the dog went on. So he thought the dog was attacking me. Very big dog, almost as tall as me. Then I saw from far back, I can feel. Then I saw the fur all up. But there is no aggressiveness. Then after a while, the tail wag. I understand. Then I can feel. I rejoice. Then I say, good dog. Then the dog came. I stopped in front. Silent. Look at me. Like that. The dog is sure. Yeah. Then the tail keep on wagging. The owner also run. Then he look at me. Who are you? Is it? How come my dog? I thought he attacked you. How come my dog is so different? Is it? Then after that, I say, it's okay. I say, good dog. Then he said, okay. So you want to pull the dog away. The dog refused to move. Stand there. Look at me. Feel. Then I said, okay, good dog. Follow your master. Then only the dog go. Then all the way back, come again. This time the owner know already. Then I say, okay, good dog. Go. That time the metta, straight from the heart. That's why they say, if you are a sweet talker, you can talk until the bird also come down. That one is not metta. That one, thumb girlfriend. But metta, they can feel. Because later on, I tested it. I thought, maybe I find out whether it really works or not. Then as I walk, I radiate metta to a stranger. Then that person was thinking, actually, like lost in thought. Then suddenly, he can feel something. Then he looked at me. Then he smiled. I also smiled. Then I thought maybe in front, easier. I purposely try one. I walk at the back. Then the one walk in front. And when I send the metta, you know what happened? The mind can feel. He just turned around and looked at me. Then he smiled again. This one is a lady. Then I also smiled. I said, sadhu. I rejoiced. Wow, she feel very good after that. She also don't understand what happened. That's why when your metta, straight from the heart, is different. And this very soothing energy, very very fine one, just come out like that. That's why straight from the heart. It's very different, not thought-based. So the three level of metta, you can do it, you can feel it. Okay, we go on. When you are in the sitting posture, during formal meditation training, try not to do that because it will not bring about the metta, the bhavana maya panya, means meditative wisdom born of the third turning of the Four Noble Truths. Here, it doesn't mean you must not do metta. No. You must not do the visualization, no, understand? Indulge in positive thought, understand? No, During the former sitting meditation, your main focus is to initially train and tame the heedless thinking mind into a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then after it has been stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware. That's why the second support. within, to understand what is going on within your former mind, so as to develop the third turning direct seeing wisdom, as taught by the Buddha. Understand that the first and second turning are less penetrative than the third turning wisdom, which is based on the direct seeing. They will be very penetrative. Hence, the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth, as proclaimed by the Buddha, should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training, means when you are in a quiet location or at home alone, reflecting, contemplating. I used to do that when I'm at home. I just walk up and down in my compound or within my house. And I realized my son also doing that. When he got problem, he will come down to the living room. Then I see him walk like that. Then I know he got problem. He is trying to understand the problem. But for me, I'm not trying to understand my problem. For me, I'm trying to develop understanding of certain things. That's why I reflect, contemplate. And during the early years, when I come out to share, you know what my contemplation was. Because I got so much compassion for living beings, I always ask myself, how can I let the living being understand this teaching? At the moment I reflect, I throw out that one. As I walk mindfully, silent, peaceful, and creative, the understanding just come out. Because I reflect back during the sharing, people's question, people's problem, where they get stuck and all those things. Then all of a sudden, the understanding came, oh, you must go back to basic, you must repeat, you must share with them like that, because they are not like you. All this come out. Oh. That's how the teaching become like that. They don't understand. They say, why brother, you repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat? It's not repeating, because the nature knows it has not gone in. You think you know, life is suffering. That's why you cannot understand. So when it's explained many times, even three turning took a long time for people to understand. The first time I shared the three turning, everybody looked at me, look at the whiteboard. He said, never heard of this teaching. Because you Theravada, that's why sure never heard of. So Theravada seldom touch on this. Because very difficult topic. Very few people can share this understanding of the three turning and link it to the three type of wisdom, which the Buddha meant under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Okay, we go on. Your main focus is to initially train and tame the heedless mind into just a relaxed state of silent inner awareness. Then after it has stabilized, keep it silent and just be aware within to understand what is going on within your former mind, so as to develop the third turning, direct seeing, wisdom. Understand that this one we have gone through, less penetrative. So, hence the second turning wisdom via reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha should only be done during normal daily mindfulness training, like when you go up there, contemplate, or you're walking, the time you're going to... I used to walk at the two sides of that compound during the early year. And it helped me so much because the vibration there are very good. The silence of nature, the stillness of nature, and all the chipping of the birds, the insects, then sometimes the fongling, they will ring. So all these are very conducive. You do not develop aversion towards the environment, because the environment is the environment. But when you are sensitive, you can feel it's different. And everything is very conducive, because there is a lot of harmony. You know what is harmony, No negative consciousness, no evil root, no fighting, nothing. That's why very peaceful, very conducive, very still. Then the nature of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, they are very, very potent when you are here. Because this temple has been established very long, and every day they do this chanting, this vibration, everything. Then the devas, the non-human, they have get used to this place. That's why this place is very unique. Okay, we go on. So the key word is silent, relaxed, contemplative session and moments. So you can do it anytime. Sometimes after your meditation, if you don't want to meditate formally, you relax and open your eye, then you can reflect while sitting there. Then you can also come out as you walk to the toilet, you're silent. Then things can happen. Then do everything mindfully. Don't try to know. Then when the conditions are there, all of a sudden you understand. Sometimes you hear one cracking sound or chipping of the bird, you can awaken. Then sometimes like the Jataka story during the Buddha's time, the nun, there's one lady nun, she was so mindful. Then she went to the well to take water and wash her leg. When she poured the water down, because of her mindfulness, then she saw the water running out. Before the water stopped and reached the edge, she became arahan. So go and wash your leg more often. Because they are ready. That direct seeing, the moment of arising of that phenomena is sustained and he's passing away. You straight away can awaken to the characteristic. Okay, section 17, Heart Sutta. Direct seeing refer to the silent mind in pure awareness to see things as they are without any form of thought. To arise the third turning wisdom called Bhavana Maya Panya. If you have wisdom, the five aggregate of form and mind will not be a problem. This is very important because they will be non-grasping aggregate. Means they become a tool to serve you. They are not deluded because of the wisdom. Then reversing the light of awareness to shine within, to cultivate the daily mindfulness with clear comprehension or sati sampajana is very important. So hui kuang fan zhao. That's why with inner awareness, the light of awareness within. Whenever you are not peaceful and not happy, this is the advice I always give you. So very easy to check yourself. Whenever you are not peaceful or not happy or moody, or you have fear, worry, anxiety, the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are there. Whereas wisdom lead to what? When you have wisdom, when you are hateful, wisdom lead to read out. Read out in harmony. Read together. 1, 2, 3. Okay, read. Wisdom lead to. Recite it so that it go into your understanding. Because if you don't have peace within, if there is no harmony, if there is no love, if there is no joy or happiness, you are lost in thought. You are heedless. That's why the heedful state is very beautiful. So easy to choose also the Noah. Prefer the heedless one. Very excited, agitated, full of fear, worry, anxiety, restless. They call it cheesecake. Otherwise, mgao cheesecake. You want cheesecake, go ahead with the heedlessness. Go and drink, go and smoke, go and womanize and do all those funny things. I think last night or what, or yesterday afternoon, some of them were sharing. During their young day, they go to Thailand. Somebody brought them to see Tiger Show. Then I also went to this Pondan Show. Because this is what you will see, you understand? But I just want to understand what these things are. Then really, I tell you, the Pondan Show that I saw in Hap Jai, very well organized. You are served like a feast or dinner. You got your table, your cushions, then you assemble there, 5 or 6 of us. Of course, with my family, my brother and sister. Then after that, they will start the show. I tell you, you can never believe they are Pondan. They are really, really like girls. But they open their voice. The moment they speak, you will understand. Actually, they are male. They are not female. But we came to know only when we are at the gate going out. Because when they are performing, they don't speak, understand? Music is sung by others. Then when go out, they want to like ask you to buy things from them and all those things. They will talk to you. They come near with that type of voice. These are take hormone pill, understand? But the voice cannot change. Funny. The voice is because your voice box, That one cannot change. But all the other parts can change. No? They really look very feminine. No? Okay. Next one. This is the Dhamma to contemplate constantly. That's why I advise you contemplate that constantly. And it is a very good check for all cultivation. That's why every time you are aware, you check. What is your mind state? Are you peaceful? Are you happy? Is there joy? Is there peace? Is there silence and still? If you don't have this mind state, I tell you, you say you vipassana, you meditate how many years, no use, etc. The moment you go out of the retreat, your mind go back to square one. You also like normal human being, excited, fear, worry, anxiety, attachment, rush after this, rush after that, plan this, plan that. Not to say you cannot plan, you can, but don't be agitated, and so on. Be peaceful. Have love, have goodness, have harmony, have clarity. Then you do things very efficiently. You don't have to worry about things. You don't have to project your thought. You don't have to like worry about meeting target and all those things. All those fears are not necessary. You just do your best. Because what you have signed is an employment contract. They already accepted you based on your experience and your qualification. So you do your best. They cannot fault you. Don't understand, tell them frankly. I really don't understand. Can you advise me further? Or show me some reference file. Or some other project that is quite similar, or how people have done it. And then they will actually help you, or they will ask a senior to guide you. That's why don't be afraid. Otherwise, your fear will actually cause you to break down. When you are fearful, worrying, what type of job you deliver? You sure cannot deliver properly. Then not only your boss will scold you, whoever who read your submission also will tick you off. Because you don't have a clear mind, you don't have clarity, you don't have a good mind, creative mind, understanding mind to resolve all this. If you have tried your best, nobody can fault you. Okay? Buddha reprimanded Ananda on saying, this is the one I share with you. Because somebody came and told Ananda. Ananda quite excited. He go and tell the Buddha, hey, this guy not bad. His teacher teach him, see no evil, hear no evil, then you are peaceful. Logical or not? Very logical. But you are in the world. How can you not see evil and hear evil? Understand? You want to do that, can become a statue. Understand? Become a statue, cannot see, cannot hear. Always peaceful. Because according to the Buddha, evil or not evil is all in the mind, understand? The world is the world, and it is not a problem if you have wisdom to confront its reality. For nobody can make you unhappy or miserable unless you allow yourself to be so via your own delusion. So the Buddha says, see, hear, eat, and yet you are peaceful. Understand not? The main thing is to develop the wisdom. Do not perceive it in negativity. When you have right view, you can accept them for what they are. So why do you fear them? Because the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Deluded people will do deluded things. Angry, emotional, violent people will do violent things. So if you avoid seeing them and hearing what they say, then you might as well go into seclusion and go to the mountain. Then become hermit. Very peaceful. Nobody disturb you. Nature very friendly to you. That's why a lot of cultivators as hermit, they come down and test themselves. And then if you have developed what we wrote on the whiteboard, in the midst of activity, if you can still have stillness of mind state, you are already beautiful. And in the midst of sound or noise, you can still be silent. So silent means no chattering inside, no verbalization, you're just silent, with full awareness and consciousness to live life. Then there are three types of wisdom. First, wisdom light, the light of prajna, of language. Oh, this one we've gone through. First turning, second turning, and third turning, same as the Theravada teaching, but Mahayana put it in different name. Okay, the next one we have gone through. How you return all external form, or external phenomenal world created via mental consciousness to mind, to the mundane mind. Then mundane mind return to true mind, pure awareness, silent mind. Then only it developed the wisdom to realize the cessation of form and mind, leading to Nibbana, to realize the oneness nature. So this one, I will skip. Then question one, in meditation, usually how long will it take for the mind to settle down into stillness? Ayo, this type of question. How you answer? It's relative, understand or not? Everyone is different. How can you ask how long? Some people do thought-based one. For eternity, you also cannot have stillness. Your thought is actively noting, doing meditation. They say wherever there is a meditator, in inverted comma, there is no meditation. When there is effort, means there is a craving mind, desire to become enlightened, wanting to meditate. And they have this wrong view. To meditate, there must be a meditator. There must be a method and a technique. Very logical, yeah. Teach me how to meditate. Okay, use this method, use this technique, use this object of meditation. Then never explain to you why you do all those things. So this is what is happening to the Buddhist community for so long. That's why it has loses its potency to transform living beings. Because people don't understand what they are doing now. Most of them. They are more interested in their own teacher's method and technique, or their teacher's way. Then they just cling at that. That's why when they come to me, I say, I got no method, no technique. Any method, any technique, you come, I can teach you. I just want you to understand what is meditation. Then you understand why they use technique and method. They are skillful means initially to train your mind. So when you understand this, then you are clear, understand? Then you are not tied by any what they call belief system, or you are not gullible. Then you realize meditation can be very simple. I can use any method and technique to train my mind. Just like the Buddha taught. Buddha nusati also can. Dhamma nusati also can. Sangha nusati also can. Loving kindness also can. Then marana nusati also can. Then anapanasati also can. So all these are the things that the Buddha taught. And in fact, the Buddha taught his son Ananda. Rahula. He teach him 7 of the way, including anapanasati, maranasati also. You go and check the sutta. There are 7 ways. So all this, they are skillful means, contemplative object of meditation for you to develop the faith, the spiritual faculty, the mindfulness, and to awaken. So when you understand, meditation become very easy. You're no longer gullible, no more dogmatic type of thinking or gullibly following instruction without understanding. Okay, I will read to you the answer. Okay, I just check. What time is supposed to stop? Oh, 10:30. Okay, I still got a bit of time. Okay, another 30 minutes. My answer is, it depends on the individual. If you have cultivated correctly and consistently, and your wisdom and daily mindfulness are already established, then the stillness of mind can be realized relatively fast. It can happen within minutes. Really? Many people have done it. But if you have not done the training and the wisdom is not established as yet, then it may not happen. And to settle down into stillness may take a while. and may be quite a difficult task. Then the second question is, what actually returns to the source? This one also want to know. There is no one to return to the source, understand? Form and mind cease, and that form and mind is not you. Then it realizes that state which is the unconditioned, the oneness. It is just the mundane mind that realizes itself and ceases. The cessation of form and mind, which is the realization of Nibbana, is without any mind, and totally without any thought, or even the pure awareness or consciousness. Hence, it cannot be spoken or expressed, or understood via words, knowledge, or idea, or concept, which is still within the field of thought. Mind ceases, but the you are not dead, and consciousness can still come out, if it is still not the time to parinibbana as yet. Understand? Means arahan with, they call residue under Theravada tradition definition. Arahan with residue means you haven't passed away, not yet parinibbana. Means the aggregate are still there, but they are pure aggregate because the karmic force is still there. But the moment they parinibbana, no more rebirth consciousness, the aggregate also no more. That's why arahan without residue. Then we move on. It is just like the analogy of the candlelight that ceases. Understand? That's why the candlelight blow off. Where did the light go to? Where did the candlelight return to? Like you ask the question, who returned to source? If I light the candlelight, then I blow it off. Where did the light return to? The condition ceases, it just ceases, understand? Where got the light somehow returned to what? Then some smart ASS, they will say, Pratyo, return to emptiness. Oh, shit. Oh, heart sutta, form is emptiness. Where God? The condition no more, because these are condition arising phenomena, understand not? Condition no more is to be. Where God? Something returned to where you think you real, you return to Nibbana. That's why the book says, see you in Nibbana. There are a lot of strange people explaining things differently. But if you are logical, using a logical mind, you need concept and word to understand, then you will accept it as very logical. Yeah, when I realize Nibbana, I can see them in Nibbana. See? We become one big family. Like Kingdom of God, they say, wow, eternal heaven, utopia. You know what my classmates say or not? When the Christian come, first year, preach to us. Then they say, you follow our teaching, you believe in God, Jesus, the only, the Son of God. Then later on, when you pass away, you will be born in eternal heaven. So this classmate asked, heaven, how is it like? So he described everything perfect, beautiful music, beautiful heavenly beings and all that. Then he asked next question, got mahjong or not? The girl look at him. Can drink or not? Can smoke or not? Can womanize or not? Then he say, don't have a boring place. I don't want to go. You know what happened? The lady say, he said, you people are beyond salvation. Cannot save you. You will definitely go eternal hell. Then another one asked, what is eternal hell? Then they answer, wait till judgment day. When Jesus judge, you all will go to hell. I say, when? They say, when? He said, wait till judgment day. You mean all buried in the, what they call cemetery. Judgment day, all rise, go heaven. Then those don't believe, go eternal hell. Then one guy lagi best. He said, you think your God got time? He said, we got six old living beings here. One guy, 1 minute, you know, take how long to judge? That's why when you are gullible, you can believe all this story. You know? Oh. So sometimes you need to have a little bit of understanding. You will not be gullible. But please, not my intent to run down on Christianity. But there are Christians who have very good understanding of Jesus' teaching. Where Jesus' teaching, you can understand there is wisdom up to whatever level that being has. So they come through a different understanding. They talk about Jesus' love, compassion, which is the same, understand or not? Then they talk about meditation too. Certain Christians say, well, I got one secretary who come and tell me. He actually respect me. You know, even she Christian, I Buddhist. She later on told me, I used to apply to go retreat. She's my secretary. She know I go retreat meditation. Then she tell me one day, Brother, we all Christian also got meditation. But our meditation is prayer. I say, very good. As long as it can make you peaceful, happy, yeah? Then you can have faith and do all those things that Jesus teach you. To be a true Christian, what must you have? The embodiment of Jesus' teaching. What is Jesus' teaching? Love and compassion. Same as that. Keep the Ten Commandments. Actually, more than 5 precepts. Ten Commandments. So if you keep Ten Commandments, means what? You avoid all evil. Understand? Then you have Jesus' love and compassion, means what? You do good. Understand? You cultivate virtue. Your karma is your good one. So no need to thank God for the food, thank God for all those things. Nature's law. Unless mighty nature is God. Understand? That's why they don't understand. Well, their teaching say everyone is God's creation. You are born in the image of God. You can understand that? It's correct. If God is mighty nature, then we came from nature. Understand? That's why we are born in the image of God. And God is almighty. God knows. Everything is recorded. Law of karma, God. All recorded. So when you have this understanding, then you realize the teaching actually is same, but put in words that people cannot understand, but they believe it's a personal God. Understand? Then they believe in the resurrection of Christ and all those things, which means that form and mind that come can still subject to birth and death. That's why he was crucified. Then they say he was resurrected, but he only appeared for don't know how many days. So all this is the Bible record. And you understand that it is their understanding. Then different Bible, different commentary, different. And all these are written after Jesus by the disciple, Luke, Matthew, and all those things. So you ask yourself, they are not Jesus, no. These are words that come from them, they believe they receive from God, no. Then they put down into the Bible. Then later on, those who have intellect, understanding, they read the Bible, they realize there's a lot of violence in the Bible. Understand? They cannot deny that because written there, you don't obey and what, you will be banished to eternal hell. Wow, God like that one. Understand? All loving, all compassionate, but you don't believe in him, you go eternal hell. Then in the Bible, it's stated very violent. That's why there are a few authors say, God's delusion. You heard of God's delusion. God's such book, no. I tell you, it becomes so popular, bestseller, no, for many years. He said God also got delusion. So anyway, this is for sharing, not to run down anybody, please. Don't go and quote Abraham or say Christianity not true. No, I never say that, please. If you can help anybody with whatever faith and make you a better person, that is a good religion. Understand? If it has love, compassion, wisdom and understanding to make you a better person, to be a blessing to all, that is a good religion for you. As long as it can transform you and make you a better person. Okay? Then likewise, we all Buddhists. Don't just take the label. No. Oh, I Buddhist. No. What type of Buddhist you don't follow the advice of the Buddha? Understand? To be worthy of the Buddha, to be worthy of his disciple, you must at least heed the advice of the Buddha. Means, avoid all evil, do good, purify your mind. How to avoid all evil? Keep the precept. how to cultivate virtue, cultivate noble eightfold path. That's the ennobler of precepts. Then how to develop wisdom, train your mind, develop heedfulness, mindfulness. And that is what a Buddhist is, a true Buddhist. That's why you only the labor, understand that? That's why I say religious labor doesn't mean anything to me. That labor doesn't make you Buddhist. That labor doesn't make you Christian. It's just a labor, understand? Like I'm Chinese. You think all Chinese are good people? Yeah? The Chinese dialect very funny. You know? Only they themselves is human being. You know? The rest all quiet. You know? Quai lo, kling. Yeah, in Hokkien, kling a kui, am ho kui, o kui, only teng lang, lang. You see, the tradition has become like that. You know? So, religious labor to me is no meaning, because if you don't have the embodiment of your religious teacher's teaching and don't transform you and make you a better person, you are not really what you think you are. Then within every profession or religion, there are black sheep. Understand? Black sheep means what? Don't follow the ethic one. Understand? They want to become like profession, lawyer, engineer, doctor or what. But they don't want to follow the code of ethics. And during our university day, I remember, there was one management paper that teaches ethics, professional ethics. As a professional engineer, you have ethics. There are many things you cannot do. And the lecturer himself tells us, well, no, actually, the ethics is for the birds, not for practicing engineer. Yeah, he finds it so restrictive. So, as long as you are sincere, he said, you won't do all these things. It's just like the Patimokkha, Vinaya rule. I was told the first 20 years when the Buddha came out to share, there was no Vinaya rule. True or not? They were no, they, not his head, it's confirmed. First 20 years, no Vinaya rule. Then later on, why need so many rules? Until 45 years later, 227 Vinaya rule. Oh, you ask yourself, means all the new monk come in, got problem. So, then the Buddha had to sort it out, then introduce this rule, that rule, that rule. Then the lady also come in, the bhikkhuni order, wow, add some more, 300 over rules. Oh. How did the rule come? Because the Sangha has problem. Then all this become what is recorded. So rules are made because situation demands it. So when the Buddha was around, when he arrived, when all the followers were so pure, they don't need rules, understand? They don't need precept because they are of good conduct, upright conduct, wise conduct, dutiful conduct. How can such order make mistakes and have need rules? But the problem is, later on, a lot came in and recruited. They are not enlightened. That's why this one apply, the Vinaya rule, apply to the monks that are under training, not enlightened. Seka, not is aseka. Aseka are beyond training. So you have to understand, when you have the Dhamma, you understand you don't need rules. You understand, because you are incapable of negativity. Okay? Okay, we better go on. The third question. Buddhist meditation talk about mental liberation. Sorry, Buddhist meditation talks about mental liberation and enlightenment via the Buddhist way. Can non-Buddhists also gain enlightenment of mind via meditation? How? Cannot. Definitely can, understand. Buddhists cannot monopolize truth. Truth is everywhere for everybody to realize. That's why I say yes, because like the Buddha said, the Dhamma or truth is already there before him, and he only realized it after the enlightenment. So truth is not monopolized by Buddhists or any religion for that matter. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Hence, truth is. not your truth or my truth, for these are the individual's opinion of truth. Truth cannot argue one. That is the reality. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Then question 4. When meditating, is it normal that the mind may go blank? like that lady, expert in blank. She said, I meditate blank. I saw people walk, I also blank. Blank means what? I don't know, you ask her. The mind can go blank for a while or for quite some time depending on the type of meditation one is doing. But it is more important for us to understand what the main purpose of bhavana or meditation is. The main purpose is to realize the wisdom that can enable us to understand clearly the Four Noble Truths so that our mind can be liberated from all entanglement of life experiences that are conditioned, that can condition our mental suffering. So whatever meditative experience that can bring about this wisdom or understanding is more important than just blanking your mind or developing a very special meditative state during meditation. The very special and beautiful meditation experiences that arise during meditation are only conditioned states. They come and they go. And if they do not bring about a transformation in understanding, then they should be left as they are. They should not be clung onto or perceived as equivalent to special achievement in meditation. Certain type of one-pointedness concentration and absorption meditation can also bring about a blank state of mind, a state of like no thought or blank mind for a certain period of time. The calmness can be very strong, but the mind is without any awareness within. Such meditation is mainly samatha in nature. One will have to release the absorption and concentration to normal state of awareness to cultivate sati sampajana, or daily mindfulness with clear comprehension meditation to develop the insight, knowledges and wisdom needed for enlightenment. Because nothing frees you except wisdom. Always remember that. Okay, at least we reach chapter 18. Okay, we stop here. You got any question? We are almost time. Another 10 minutes. Anybody wants to ask any question or report the meditation? Yeah? Anybody? Don't have, Don't have, then I'll let you all meditate. Then we will go for lunch after that. So maybe I will come back 10 to 15 minutes earlier, so that we can have a short Q&A or summing up. Okay, you can meditate until 11:45. I will come back 11:45. Okay, so you can pay your own respect.